Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive the King.
Hello, and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Bible Reading Plan podcast. My name is Sarah Burks, and I will be reading the devotional written by Amy Hirsch as she is on maternity leave. Today is January 1st. Right now, we are going through our Advent devotional guide. So each day, we will be reading a portion of scripture and reading through part of a Christmas hymn together. You will also be hearing my thoughts on the passages read aloud from the Advent guide. The Christmas hymn that we are working from today is Joy to the World, and the third stanza says this: No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. Our scripture from today comes from Genesis 3. So if you have your copy of scripture, let's begin. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, Where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, What is this you have done? The woman said, The serpent deceived me, and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. To the woman he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam he said, Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. If you are a sports fan, you probably know the legend of curses on sports teams, like the curse of the Bambino and the curse of the Billy Goat. We even had tales of the chicken curse at the University of South Carolina. Perhaps you might put some stock into one of these curses, but even I, as a South Carolina fan, know that the chicken curse isn't fully to blame for our failure to win the SEC championship. The curses of Genesis 3 aren't based on superstitious stories related to sports failures, but come as a direct result of Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden. The serpent, Adam, and Eve are all cursed for the parts they played in bringing sin into the world. But the curse doesn't stop there, does it? Adam and Eve first sinned in the garden, but humanity has been sinning ever since because we share in Adam and Eve's fallen nature, and so we share in the curses they faced because of their sin. We feel the weight of sin, the thorns and thistles of broken relationships, pain in childbirth, and frustration with work. We experience the sorrow of death. Yet, there is hope, even in Genesis 3. If we look back to verse 15, we begin to see a glimmer of light that sin will not rule forever, and that one will come to break the curse. The Lord declares to the serpent, "Cursed to crawl on the ground. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Theologians call this the first gospel. It is the first prophecy we have of one coming to crush the heel of the serpent, coming to defeat sin and death and the grave. It is the first word of the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who took on our curse of sin, who became cursed for us, so that we might have life in his name. As we sing this hymn at Christmas, we proclaim these things to be true, that Jesus has come, that he makes his blessings flow as far as the curse is found, that he is making right all that is wrong in the world, that sin has no power over believers. Yet we sing this song as people who deal with the effects of Genesis 3 and the presence of heartache, sin, and sorrow on this side of heaven. But take heart, believer, because this is not the end of the story. A day is coming when Christ will have the final victory over sin, when even the presence of evil will be banished forever. Even now, the curse is being broken, and Christ will have the last word.